Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema with you guys on a Monday morning. It's a big week, Trev. Big week. You know why?
Why? Why is that,
John? Talking wide receivers on the podcast. And it is a week of much rejoicing because wide receivers are back. Big wide receivers are back. We've had a couple
down
years.
I know you're
years.
On that hype train already.
I'm excited because the last couple of people have been trying to like pull up these mid-rounders and be like, yeah, here's a guy. If remember, Cooper Kupp could be a first-rounder. And, you know, I love Josh Reynolds. He could be a first. People throwing out his name. People throwing in Zay Jones as a first-round grade. I'm like, y'all are thirsting for good wide receivers, like quality guys with like traits and just.
It's the playmaking age, John.
That Odell
it's
Beckham
the playmaking
class,
age.
That's what did it, man. That Odell Beckham class spoiled everybody, and they started
that's
looking for
true.
Every class.
It really did. I mean, 13 class is awesome.
Oh my gosh, it was amazing. I remember reading after that class, every class, like the next two classes at least, people were like, it could be better than the one before. I was like, you guys are crazy. Like, stop saying this stuff. Like, you just
we do that every
like,
year.
Foolish.
Though.
We do. It's true. But this year's class, I'm not going to put it up against that class because I think that class was both incredibly talented and really polished. Like, those guys came in the NFL and made immediate impacts. That was a very, very rare class. Less polished, but in terms of promise of what these guys could be, this class is really, really exciting. Today, we're talking about the foursome that's now a threesome from Ole Miss, and because Van Jefferson went to Florida. Go Gators.
There it is.
And DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, DeMarcus Lodge, and Van Jefferson. These four dudes, I think, all have the potential to be top 100 type of picks. Testing's going to matter for some of them. I think they could all be top 100 guys, and they all were on the same receiving core last year. And the tight end, Dawson Knox, I think he might be a first rounder.
Yeah. No, it was impressive. When I watched their tape, it was an extremely impressive. Yeah, almost like all around. It's like you were telling me like, hey, we're gonna hit on all of the Ole Miss guys today. I'm like, okay. And really, you can just pop on Ole Miss tape, and there they all are, just all in the field at the same time. And you're like, wait, they've got all these prospects on the field at the same time. And so I was kind of like skeptical going into it. I was kind of skeptical thinking that there was no way that they were going to be able to do that, but turns out they can, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it was, early in the year, it was Van Jefferson and DeMarcus Lodge outside with A.J. Brown in the slot. And then as the year went on, D.K. Metcalf kind of cut in, who was only a redshirt freshman last year, kind of cut into Van Jefferson's playing time. And I think Jefferson saw with Dawson Knox emerging, with Metcalf emerging, with Lodge being the guy that was actually on the field, I think, the most. And A.J. Brown, you know, being who he is with the reputation he is, Van Jefferson kind of looked at the writing on the wall and was like, I'm talented, but I got to get out of here. I got to go to Florida. Let's start with Van. To me, I thought, man, when you tell me he's Sean Jefferson's son, that's like, that makes complete sense to me. The son of a wide receiver who had an NFL career and is now a coach. Like, that's what Van looked like to me. Like, shorthanded, possession guy, underneath, knows what he's doing as a route runner, knows what he's doing in releases, can work from the slot a little bit, can play outside. Is he going to do anything crazy, anything out of the ordinary? Is he going to make a bunch of crazy contested catches? I don't think he has great speed or great separation quickness or post-catch ability. But a chain mover type of guy, a guy that you'd love to have on your team, a reliable dude, that's to me what I saw in Van Jefferson.
No, I'm with you. And let me tell you, that kind of wide receiver is going to be almost like brand new at Florida. Yeah. So, because what Florida has had over the last 3 or 4 years have just been kind of like converted athletes at wide receiver and just like shorter guys or super tall guys. It's never been like a wide receiver. Like, you look at Van Jefferson and you see, you can already see like polish in him because, you know, like you said, there's the background there. He's already has kind of that, I guess I'll call it like a savviness or the position where he knows the little things that you have to do as a wide receiver. Now, like to your point, I didn't think that he was overly athletic. I didn't think that he was super explosive in and out of breaks or when he was making different route combinations, which is fine. But I still thought he was he is going to clearly be the most polished receiver at UF. And I think that he's going to be used in that way pretty easily. And so for Van Jefferson, I think that we could see his best year yet, not just because obviously he's transferring to a situation that has less NFL draft talent like Ole Miss does, but because in those certain situations where they need like a true wide receiver, to make just like a smart wide receiver player, something like that, like a go-to guy, a chain mover, like you kind of referenced there. That's going to be him. He's going to be that entire offense for that role.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because I know where he stacks up in my mind with the Ole Miss guys, and we're going to get to that at the end of the this episode. But in terms of Florida, you said he's the most polished. Is he the best receiver there this year? You think he leads them in catches, yards, things like that?
It's so hard for me to say, one, because the quarterback play has been god-awful the last 2 years. Two, Jim McElwain was calling the offense, and it was terrible. And, like, I like Tyree Cleveland. Tyree Cleveland does a lot of nice things. He's shown that he could be a deep threat guy. He's got speed. He's got size.
He was a big recruit, right?
Yeah, and, like, he showed a little bit last year that he could be, like, a complete-ish outside wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Or, I guess, not – I don't want to say complete, but because that's almost too much of a compliment. But he could be more than just a nine-route guy. He showed that he could be a little bit more than that. But, man, I don't know, just because – I don't really know what the quarterback play is going to be like. I don't know what the offense is going to shape up. They have Trevin Grimes too, who is a five-star who committed to Ohio State, and then he transferred back to Florida because he's from here. And now he's with them too. And so I'm pretty sure those are going to be the three that they run. Wow. So it's going to be a much different looking wide receiver core at Florida. But like I said, Grimes is still young. Cleveland is still unpolished. Jefferson's going to have that role for Florida. And so, like, I think it's going to be a really good situation for him to kind of show what he can, the way he can do best.
Ole Miss has three other guys that I think we're going to really get into in an exciting fashion over the next couple months. Not that I don't think Van Jefferson's good, I do, but I think these other guys might bring a little bit more in the splash play category.
Yeah, that's
I think,
fair. That's very fair.
Right? Like, that is, we talk about that every year. Like, the guys who get us excited, the guys, you know, there's all those reliable type of guys. They're in every class a little bit more. I don't want to, like, diminish what they do because I think it's important, but the level to which it will be valued in the NFL is going to be less so than these guys that have maybe more of a trump card, a way that they clearly can win. I'm curious about this. Did you watch DeMarcus Lodge against LSU?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I read your review of him, though, and you talked about him going up against Greedy, right?
Yeah. I wrote that for the Draft Network, guys, if you want to check it out. But I wrote about DeMarcus Lodge and kind of how he broke down Greedy Williams. And, you know, Greedy had some plays too, but Lodge got behind him three times. He's got for real speed. Like, I think he's running the 4.4s, and he's 6'1", right around 200. He's a polished dude. He works pretty hard. The route tree is limited on the outside for Ole Miss. They run a lot of their offense through the slots, especially through A.J. Brown. So Brown has the most production when you look at the college stats. However, you could argue that the guys on the outside, you know, if they were allowed to do more and target a little more, I mean, really, they're targeted in the vertical plane, you know. I mean, for Lodge, it's a lot of nine routes, occasionally some deep posts or some, you know, PCP routes, stuff like that. But for the most part, he's running vertical routes with the with a comeback or two, with a hitch or two, you know, but that's like it. Mm-hmm. So there's not a lot of in-breaking stuff or out-breaking stuff or outs or digs or, you know, that kind of stuff in the short to intermediate areas of the field. There's not a lot of drags where you're getting him. He doesn't have a lot of manufactured touches that, you know, where A.J. Brown, a ton of them. You know, he'll run off the line of scrimmage against his own coverage, sit down somewhere in the middle of the field and just catch an uncontested ball. Lodge is getting off press coverage on a consistent basis. He's creating space on his own on a consistent basis, and more importantly, he's typically having to create it vertically. So a lot harder of a job, in my opinion, for DeMarcus Lodge than for A.J. Brown, which we're going to discuss and talk about. But I just think Lodge has, like, that for real speed. My big issue with him, he doesn't catch the ball consistently.
I know. Too many drops. I mean, we're going to get to DK Metcalf in a little bit, but, you know, A.J. Brown is the guy who is getting the first round hype, or at least was getting the first round hype when you saw, like, the early rankings over the summer and right after the 2018 draft, because people like to just put out their rankings right away. And they saw the production from A.J. Brown and they go, okay, well, this is the guy to have. I would argue that Metcalf is clearly number one to a guy to have from Ole Miss. And then A.J. Brown is much closer to, like, even with DeMarcus Lodge than he is to even with DK Metcalf. So at least from an NFL draft standpoint, because at Ole Miss, it's clear that they run a lot of their offense through Brown. And he gets a lot of the touches like that. He gets the easier routes, the quick fire routes. The ball's out of the quarterback's hand early when it's going to Brown normally. And I think that he does things well. I just didn't see, you know, like, for example, Sterling Shepard is a guy that I always go back to because I loved his tape so much as a guy who had great footwork, who could get in and out of his cuts, who could put together a combination of different routes and could really just separate in that regard. And I thought that that's what is – like, if you're going to draft a slot guy, especially in the first round like A.J. Brown is getting talked about with, that's what I got to see. And I didn't really see that with Brown. Like, I saw a smooth player, but I didn't see a super explosive player. And when I watched DeMarcus Lodge, bringing it back to him, I'm with you. I see more explosion, not only vertically, but I think that he knows how to kind of swim past – press coverage. He knows how to get around people like that. He can start and stop a little bit better. I think going back to what you originally stopped saying, if he could catch the ball better, it'd be different. I'd have no problem. I'd almost have no problem putting DeMarcus Lodge basically even with AJ Brown, maybe even better in some instances. But he's the dude's got to catch the ball.
Right.
I saw so many just like either bounce off his hands or bounce off his chest or something. And it's like,
well, you didn't even watch
the, like you.
Yeah, the LSU game was.
Is the LSU game bad?
No, it's great until he doesn't catch the ball. He beats Greedy Williams deep on a vertical route. Gorgeous play. Like everything, right? The throw's gorgeous too. I think it was Tiamu that was playing in this game. Gorgeous throw right off his hands. Was a touchdown for sure. Just toasted Greedy. I mean, didn't toast him isn't just like ran away from him at the end of the play. Like that second gear when the ball's in the air, tracks it well, finds it just off his hands, and he's grabbing his helmet. And then later in the game, you know, they reduce his split to give him room for like a corner fade type of route. And he basically like he breaks Greedy down, gains that separation, finds the ball, gears away from it the last second. And it's hard to see from the all 22 view, but I mean, the ball hits off his hands. It's hard to see whether he would have been in bounds or not, but you catch the ball, you know, you got to finish. Like, it's just one of those things that keeps coming. Then he'll have like some crazy, like he got Greedy Williams and Greedy matched him deep. And then he came back on a comeback. He came back in a scramble drill to help his quarterback out. Greedy completely fell asleep on the route. So he comes back. The ball is thrown like out of bounds. He like gets both feet down while he's running full speed back to the quarterback and like reaches his body out and snags this ball like off his coach's chest on the sideline. I was like, so this guy has legit hands. Like he's made some acrobatic catches.
Yes. No, he is. The high variance with Lodge is real. It's very real.
Anyway, the football. Yeah. And here's my big thing. Okay. Lodge is consistently working off press coverage. Metcalf is consistently working off press coverage. AJ Brown, I watched probably 7 games of Ole Miss now to watch all the guys that are there. I've never, ever seen him anywhere other than the slot.
They give him a lot of cushion.
But it's he's rarely working off press there.
I don't know how many schools have the DBs. Have 3 DBs that can do press. So I think that's but again, like that's just the manipulation of a certain player. They know that AJ Brown is best in that role because he can be smooth enough in his movements and off like right at the snap to where he can get a little bit of separation. Then you dump him the ball. He does what he does after the catch. He can run a little bit after that. I don't think he's super fast either. He's fine, but he's not.
Yeah.
Again, like I go back to Sterling Shepard or like other guys who are slot guys. Like you've got to have an elite thing that you do, whether it's footwork or explosiveness, in and out of cuts, or even like vertical speed, whatever it is, you got to be elite at something for me to spend a first round pick on a slot guy. Yeah. And I'm a sucker for picking slot guys at the end of the first round. Like I said, Sterling Shepard should have been a late first round pick because of how I thought that he could have been using the game plan. But if you're not elite at that, then the drop off to value, in my opinion, is quick because then at that point you turn into every other wide receiver who might not have size or speed.
And
so
here's the big thing with AJ Brown: people don't think he's a slot guy. Well, that's all AJ Brown's ever been. So
right, no,
that's
AJ
okay.
Brown's a slot guy.
Right, if you he's six, he's listed 6'1", 225. I don't think he's that big.
But no,
even if he's
6'1", 215,
you think he's like 215? He's thick.
Yes.
So 6'1", 215, that's still a big slot receiver. That's fine if that's how he's going to be using the NFL, but he doesn't have any experience getting off press coverage. He's most of the time working against zone coverages, underneath routes. he is finding space. He's sitting down and he's slippery after the catch. I'll give him that. I thought he had an edge on Metcalf and Lodge. Again, Lodge really didn't get any, he didn't get any receptions with an area to make plays after the catch, if that makes sense. The one time I did see him, he slipped two tackles. He got a first down. It was a nice play. It was against LSU as well. He was a great game. If he would have just finished on two or three other plays, he would have had an unbelievable stat line. But I think that's something from Brown that you do get, a little more creativity with the ball in his hands. But I keep going back to what you said. Like, is he a great athlete, though? Like, he's a little tough to bring down. He's a little slippery. But, like, I don't know if I see, like, somebody who's going to just kill teams after the catch, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't watch him and think, this is a guy I just got to get the ball in his hands, like, all the time. Like, yeah. I just think that's how
Ole Miss also played, like, super terrible teams last year. And when I was watching, like, they played, like,
I got the numbers right here.
Yeah, I can't even remember. But they played a
lot of Alabama, Tennessee, Martin, Louisiana.
Yeah, they played terrible teams last year. And A.J. Brown ate them up. And, like, good for him. I mean, he's beating his competition. That's fine. But when I watch those games, and when we talk about things from an NFL draft perspective, if he's catching the ball and getting yards after the catch after these guys, let me tell you, that guy's not playing in the league. You know, like, he's running away from guys who are not going to make it in the league. Right. Why? Because they're not fast enough. The guys in the league are fast enough. So at that point, that's why, you know, it sounds like we're really hating on A.J. Brown. Right. And I don't know how much you are or I am. But
I'm not that
much.
I don't like hate him.
I think he's a solid player.
Sure.
But he's not a first rounder, if you ask me.
I agree. I did not expect. I didn't know whether you would come. We hadn't talked at all. I didn't know whether you would come in with that same takeaway as well, but that's what I saw when I watched him. And here's the numbers for people who are curious. Last year, and this is a big reason why he's getting hype and the other guys didn't have numbers anywhere close to this, A.J. Brown had 75 catches, 1,252 yards, and 11 touchdowns. 38 of those catches, 748 of those yards, and 8 touchdowns. 8 of his 11 touchdowns, 748 of his 1,252 yards came against South Alabama, Tennessee, Martin, Louisiana, and Vanderbilt. I'm not saying that he didn't have good games other than that. He did have two good games, I think. He had one catch for six yards against Alabama.
You got to notice that stuff, man.
I mean,
level of competition matters. Right. And I'm not saying you totally throw away the bad schools because you want to see guys dominate lower competition, sure, obviously. But that's a serious chunk of your production coming from players that are just straight up not going to be in the NFL.
Right. And I go Alabama, one catch for 6 yards, I think. LSU was another down game, I believe, for him. I don't think he did much in that game. So, really, for me with him, it's just this year's going to be big. Like, does he get pressed? Does he get put on the outside at all? You know, and again, I don't think so because really that's where Metcalf and Lodge play. And, you know, Brown is better after the catch and that he gets a lot of manufactured touches in his current role. I don't see the polish needed. Now let's talk about DK Metcalf. 6'3", 225 pounds. He's huge. He's just a redshirt sophomore this year. The issues with him come.
What does it say he weighs?
Says he weighs 225. It also says AJ Brown weighs 225. I think Metcalf probably weighs 225. Brown does not. But he's a big slot. But
I think he weighed 200 when he came into Ole Miss.
Who? Oh, Metcalf.
Yeah.
I mean, there's pictures of him working out like last summer, like at the Manning Academy and stuff like that. He was like he was like there doing receiver stuff, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, he looks like he's 30, first of all. His body is mind-boggling. Like, as good on the hoof as probably any prospect we've ever scouted. I know that sounds insane.
As good on the what?
On the hoof, like all right, his appearance.
Explain to the
scout
people.
Scout lingo, sorry. I didn't know.
All right.
Probably as any pro. I mean, look up pictures of DK Metcalf if you think I'm being hyperbole. Like, look him up. You've seen him, right?
Never.
Dude looks unbelievable.
Yes, like, I have, obviously.
So obviously tempted just to fall for the evaluation there. But then you put on the tape what I did not expect, and this is a credit to Ole Miss, although, again, we don't see A.J. Brown really have to work on his releases because he's rarely ever pressed, if ever. Metcalf, Lodge, and Jefferson are all outstanding in their releases against press coverage. then that must be something Ole Miss drills and drills and drills, because they vary their releases. They're good with their hands. They're good with their feet. Occasionally, mm-hmm. you'll see Metcalf a little bit too much time getting off the line, like a little too many, you know, hip gyrations, footwork, whatever. But man, is he good at it. It is almost impossible to press the guy. He's too big. He's too long. He's aggressive. He attacks your space.
Yep.
Really, really polished stuff in that regard. What you don't see all the time is the routes, because he runs such a limited tree. You don't see a lot of that same stuff in the routes. I think the tools are there for sure.
His tree is super limited.
Yeah.
So like, I don't really know.
More limited than Lodge, I feel like, even.
So originally when I was just watching Metcalf and I was seeing him use size and kind of aggressiveness to win, I was like, oh, I wonder if this guy's kind of like Kelvin Benjamin. And I kept watching him, and then I'm like, this guy moves a lot better than Kelvin Benjamin, oh, yeah. which was crazy, because I thought Kelvin Benjamin moved pretty dang well for a guy who was 6'5". Mm-hmm. And I'm watching Metcalf just like straight up out sprint corners.
Oh yeah.
And
for real,
like,
speed.
Okay, this guy's not Kelvin Benjamin. He's something else. I don't know, man.
I think traits wise, not the same level of polish or the same level as a prospect yet. But again, he was a redshirt freshman last year, so I don't know what you want. Traits-wise, the comparison to Calvin Johnson, honestly, is what it reminds me of. I mean, how many guys that size are running?
All right. Thank you for that, because now the title of this podcast is going to be called DK Metcalf, the next Calvin Johnson, and you're going to send it, and boy, are our numbers just going to go through the roof. So I'm just gonna have Locke thank you in advance.
Clickbait NFL draft.
No, I mean,
Locked On clickbait. But traits-wise,
you know, had to rebrand coming onto the Draft Network, you know. So, but I mean, obviously throwing out a name like that is crazy.
Sure.
But when you look at a guy who's got height, speed, the body composition that he has, there aren't many players that are like that. And the only ones that you can find in the NFL that succeeded are kind of these freak guys that are crazy good. So if DK Metcalf is gonna make it, and obviously, he could have two more years in college before he goes to the NFL if he really wants. But if he's going to make it, he's going to get the most out of these traits. And the traits that he has have a super high ceiling. So
right.
I think he's obviously got a lot of work to go. I think the route tree mm-hmm. was my number one thing with him.
Yeah.
Is that I just did not see enough to feel comfortable with him being a total wide receiver, just because I've got to see it. Like, I've got to see how he sinks his hips and chops his feet going into basically all the routes that you could want from a number one wide receiver, because he's got the rest of the stuff. I think he shows glimpses of that. So this year, I hope they open it up for him. They let him attack corners in different ways and defenses in different ways with different kinds of routes. It'd be great to see, but obviously college football, you don't have to give a damn about the NFL draft. You can do whatever you want. You can keep just telling DK to go long and beat press coverage and score touchdowns, and he'll do that. And so we might have this wonder whenever he declares, whenever that might be. But
that's a reality that his route tree may not expand. And I fully realize people are just going to hear Calvin Johnson and then draw that comparison. But to me, it's, you know, just a physical and athletic type of comparison. You know, Johnson way more polished all around and everything. And what's curious about Metcalf is that as a redshirt freshman, and what I would say, even though they did play some cupcakes in their non-conference, you know, he faced Kevin Tolliver. Like, he tore up Kevin Tolliver, who I know wasn't a great NFL prospect, but he's on the Bears right now. Like, he's a guy that has a shot to make in the NFL, plays for LSU, like, big time recruit. Like, I mean, it was a beatdown. So
yeah,
I'd like to see him finish in contested situations more consistently. Like, he has to pretty much dominate those. Now, there are some flashes that are just unreal. Like, I mean, Kentucky? He got
the game-winning one against Kentucky.
I mean,
was.
Jeez, I mean, what an amazing, amazing play. But that shit, like, there's just not many guys who can make that kind of play in college football. So all about that play, you know, 39 catches, 646 yards. He averaged almost 17 yards a catch and caught 7 touchdowns last year as a redshirt freshman playing in the SEC. And
speaking of Calvin Johnson, can we just – how did Georgia Tech
– I don't know, man. They had a run
Calvin
there.
Johnson – and Demaryius Thomas.
They had a run there. You know who would have been good, too?
How did that happen?
You know who would have been good? Do you remember DeAndre Smelter? He was after those two.
No.
You don't remember. He played baseball at Georgia Tech, was an amazing athlete, went and played wide receiver for them. I'm going to type in his name right now and look at his numbers. But he was a guy that people were like, he could, honestly, as a pure, he was 6'3", 225. He could jump and he could, I mean, he had unbelievable hands. His hands
were huge. How did you get these guys to go to Georgia Tech?
Smelter got hurt his final year at Georgia Tech and never could be the same player. The 49ers took him in the fourth round, I think. I mean, he averaged 20 yards a catch. He only played football 2 years at Georgia Tech. He averaged 16 yards a catch and 20 yards a catch. He had 715 yards receiving for a team that doesn't throw the ball and seven touchdowns. Averaged 20 yards a catch. I thought he had more polish than, I think he would have been so good, but he never could get the same after his injury. And he'd had a couple injuries before that, I think, too. It just was a health thing. And he's somewhere around the league right now, but he's never been able to be the same athlete. But I thought he had crazy potential if he could get fully healthy. But yeah, I mean, to your point, they just cranked him out. I feel like there's other guys we're forgetting. Now, I remember Darren Waller. Darren Waller was like super big and long. He's a tight end now for the Ravens. He ran like 4.3 and he was like 6'6", 230 pounds or something. People were like, this guy's a freak. And then they put on the tape and he couldn't play wide receiver, but they found some.
That's maybe, I guess that's just Georgia Tech's thing. They hope they just recruit an athlete yeah. and hope they hit a massive home run.
They did. They had some dudes, man, no question. So the Ole Miss guys, I think it was just a blast to watch them because all of them were really impressive in some ways. And, I mean, it was just fun. You don't put on one team and just see that much talent on the field. And later in the week we'll talk about Dawson Knox because, man, I think that he is special type of potential too. And he's now starting to get a little national buzz, but not many people have heard of him still.
Tomorrow, it's because of your work. It's because of your work, son.
Let's spot the lie. Tomorrow we talk Calvin Harmon, Amon Richards, Jalen Smith, and Anthony Ratliff Williams. We run through the ACC guys. Wednesday we're going Deebo Samuels. Don't worry, we got him in there. Denzel Mims from Baylor, our Sega Whiteside, the wide receiver from Stanford, and Keel Harry as well from Arizona State. So a couple pack guys thrown in there. Thursday we talk about our wide receiver top fives, and we got a slide in tight end talk to get those guys in before the season starts.
Filling it all in.
Loading it in, man. Friday, we got the Super Show. It's going to be a fun week, man. We got so much to talk about with these wide receivers. It's rare you're going to get me to say that I'm more excited to talk about a position other than edge and interior defensive line, but I think we're here. I'm pumped about this wide receiver group. I'm ready to do it this week. So, till tomorrow, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.